What's the story, everyone? Welcome back to Gaelic Games Fan TV. It is it's Christmas time. Christmas is here in a few days' time. Obviously, we done one of these last year on Christmas Eve. Not quite Christmas Eve this time around, but it is Christmas Eve. So it's, you know, the next best thing, I suppose you could say. And joined here by Matthew Hurley from the Gaelic Statsman podcast and Seamus Brady from Onclithe. We're just going to review the entirety of the year, talk about the big moments, talk about the controversies. Goal of the year, point of the year, surprise of the year, shock of the year. I mean, just going to run through basically all of the big moments from 2023 in detail. We're also going to be looking at our best and worst predictions of the year as well. So I've got my own worst prediction. I didn't really have many good predictions at all. That was actually the part I struggled with, is going through my videos trying to find something that was actually a good prediction. And then same obviously for Matthew and for Seamus as well. We've got the receipts, we've got the video evidence, so you'll want to stick around and see them, because it'll be interesting to see the lads' opinions and some of the takes, and even get their opinions and your opinions in the comments or whatever. If you've seen any like worst predictions anywhere else or anything like that, like feel free to let us know. I suppose first of all, gents, how are we? Christmas time is here, Matthew. How are you? How are you keeping? And you set for the Christmas?
Yeah, exactly. So, and thanks for having me on again, Aaron, for this end of your review. Yeah, all set, all presents wrapped and everything. All set for the holidays, all set for sleep as well, because this has been for me personally, I think it's just been a long year. Like, I went to Scotland earlier on the year, championships in the middle of the year, obviously for Intercounty with Cork and stuff like that. Then went to the Southern Star in the summer and then did a college course first semester. That's done now. I'm not in college until the 28th of January. So long break. So a lot of sleep needed. But other than that, yeah, I'm delighted to join the chat here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, like it's been a quick year though as well, because as I was saying to you, Seamus, there off air, like, I mean, it feels like only last year we were doing that quiz the end of last year and running through it. And yeah, it has been a quick year, like in terms of, like, even though like the last championship game was June or July, wasn't it? July, like, but it doesn't really feel like it's actually been that long.
Yeah, it doesn't at all. And thanks for having me on again for 2023's version. Like, it's been a very fast year. And then you think about everything that happened in between the last quiz and obviously today, like the Kilmacle Crokes Glen saga, the GA Go saga, the, you know, the referee incidents and everything like that. And that they all feel quite long ago at the same time in my mind. So it's weird. In one way, it feels like it was yesterday. In one way, it feels like it was longer than a year ago. So, but 2023 has been a good year, I think, in terms of like the GAA. I think it's been a good year. There definitely is things to improve on in 2024. Like me and Matthew did the video at the start of this year saying what we would improve in the GAA. I think we could apply about 100% of the ideas to 2024 again. Yeah, I think there's something to look forward to, onwards and upwards.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Like, and I suppose that's the thing. Maybe a lot of things we wanted to come into 2023, maybe we didn't get. And it's probably looking maybe quite similar in 2024. Like, obviously, we did have a few new things. Like, you know, we obviously had the new championship structure in football, for example, with the group stages and everything else. But in terms of starting off, I was thinking a bit of a trivia question, maybe. Like, I was kind of thinking off the top of my head, like, what's the best GAA gift maybe any of you lads have ever got? And you know, I'm free to think of gifts as well. Like, in terms of GAA gifts, like, I haven't really got anything massive. Like, when it comes to Christmas, usually most people buy me Liverpool stuff or soccer stuff or things like that. I mean, people buy me like Dublin jerseys or Dublin DVDs that I already have. It's just like, it's so generic. But I remember I got a Jackie Tyrrell book once, which I found interesting. It was like, cool. Like, don't get me wrong, you know, Jackie Tyrrell, an immense hurler, obviously, but it was surprising to have gotten that. I think I got like the Bernard Brogan book. I think someone bought me like an encyclopedia of Gaelic games, which I don't know if that was an insult or a compliment. It's like, maybe we feel like you should learn the game a bit more here. Do you know what I mean? So
you buy you a real book next year.
Yeah, like literally. But yeah, any gifts you lads ever got or anything that ever kind of stood out from a Gaelic games perspective?
trying to think of it now. I would say, I know it's generic and stuff like that, and but I'd say back in 2012, I got a Cork jersey. 2011 or 2012, I'm not sure what it was, but it was actually the Cork jersey that the Cork footballers won the All-Ireland with in 2010. So that, to me, was probably special to me in years gone by. And before that, actually, the only Cork jersey I had, this was when I was 10, 11 years of age now, the only Cork jersey I had was from the 90s. So that was all torn, it was worn out and everything like that. So to get that kind of a jersey, and it was a nice jersey, it was kind of a V across the jersey, and it, O2 was the sponsor. It was just nice. It was a nice gift to get, and yeah, I remember that. And other than that, probably GA calendars. I know like calendars are very handy to keep track of the date and writing podcasts or anything like that, just to keep track of it, and even to get the photos of GA players. Like in December, I have one behind me now. Damien Cormor scoring the goal against Derry is the main poster in December. So so nice kind of memoir to have as well. So yeah, those would be probably the two that I remember in GA. And like yourself, Aaron, like a lot of people get me Liverpool stuff, a lot of people get me, you know, when I was into FIFA, a lot of FIFA games, but I'm not into FIFA anymore, I just don't have the time. So yeah, them kind of things. But I would say the Cork jersey is probably special to me that I got in about 10 years ago now, or over that.
Yeah, anything from you, Seamus, or anything, any memorable stuff, or did you even get anyone any gifts?
Couple of ideas. I think the funniest one was, I think me and my dad weren't really paying attention at Christmas, and a present got thrown over to us, and it was a retro Dublin jersey from the 1980s, beautiful, like a vintage Dublin jersey from the 80s, and we couldn't decide who the present was actually for. So anytime I had it, he'd take it back. Anytime he had it, I'd take it and wear it to training. But that jersey was fun. For this year, I'd say there's a few books that got released. So obviously I'm working with the GAA Museum, and there's a few books that are in there. A Place to Play by Humphrey Kelleher is a gorgeous book. It's all these drone aerial shots of all the GAA stadiums around the country, and it's all different shapes and size pitches and stadiums, and it gives the history of each of the grounds, when it was founded, who bought it, who set up that stadium. Like, it's a really, really gorgeous book. Then This Is the Life by Kieran Murphy as well, about club players, is a really, really good book. There's some really, really good books. There's another GA book on this day, which kind of makes a point of up to, I can't remember exactly what year, but it has in the book what happened on each date in the GAA down through the years. So it has 1st of November, GAA was founded, everything like that. They're good little books to have, especially for us three, if we want to keep up with posts and stuff like that. The On This Day book would definitely be a handy little purchase.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there definitely is. Like, and look, I suppose as Dublin fans, you know, we have a lot of memorable days, you know, going back over the last few years and whatnot. Plenty of comments flying in here. Oisín says, I thought the group stages for the All-Ireland took a while to get going, but there was great drama on the final day. There definitely was. And Gavin says here, Glenn Ryan at Croke Park, top. I think he means in terms of buying Glenn Ryan a top about Croke Park or something,
yeah,
like a jersey or something like that, which would be a good, that'd be great, you know, if you've got Glenn Ryan's address, just send them out, you know, a Dublin jersey with Croke Park, you know, sort of
Croke Park 2023.
Yeah, although I did hear, you know, there's lots of rumors.
Kildare, you should have a little button in it as well that plays the music, mm-hmm. You know, like in the tie.
Oh yeah, the entrance music. Kildare's opening game in a championship next year is actually going to, or opening game of the league is actually going to be in Croke Park. And I've heard
They're not using Croke Park though. I think they're using Cullen Park where Carlo play.
Ah, okay.
There was serious talk that they were, and then I think they pulled a 180 on it. Is it easier for them to get to Cullen Park? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it more similar to Newbridge? I don't know. You would think they'd take the chance with both hands to go to Croke Park, but
I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting one because Kildare, like especially, isn't that like, I'm just thinking about it, like Dublin would probably be closer to certain parts of Kildare than Carlow would. But again, it could be one of those things where they're obviously trying to keep the tight pitch and everything else, and they feel like maybe that's more beneficial to them, like playing in Division Two as opposed to Crow Park. But yeah, I suppose we'll crack in with just a few different things. I suppose we'll start off with game of the year. I mean, a lot of contenders that spring to mind. I mean, we think back to the New York Leitrim game early on. You know, in the championship, a game that obviously went to penalties, that he had huge drama. Like, the All-Ireland final was fairly, you know, entertaining in some ways. But again, was that the game of the year? I'm not so sure. And I actually think the Derry versus Kerry game in the All-Ireland
was because
that was a game where most people thought it was going to be a drab affair, nothing really happening. And then it turned out to be an absolute cracker. But Matthew, I'll come to you on this one first. Like, what would have been your game of the year, a standout game of the year? We'll go in football first, and then maybe we'll go to hurling after.
Yeah, I have a few listed here on my Instagram. I have a competition or kind of an awards thing with a game of the year, moment of the year. Check that out if you haven't already. The vote will begin on St. Stephen's Day, so make sure you tune in for that on Instagram. But the few I listed for football was Kerry Derry, number one, obviously. The All-Ireland semi-final, as you mentioned, brilliant game of football. Chris, there's a few memorable moments in that. David Clifford flooring Chris McCaig is probably a highlight of that game. Shane McGuigan getting targeted by Kerry. Stephen O'Brien coming on and getting that winning point at the end. Like, there's a load of memorable moments from that game, so that is certainly up there. Second one actually is most recently, December, Castlehaven-Dingle. Just the drama of it. Like, the wind was absolutely swirling that day. Castlehaven, they looked in, buried in so many aspects of that game. They came back, they fought like dogs, and they eventually won on the penalty shootout. And who could forget that Damien Callahan moment where he was kind of impersonating Amy Martinez in the goal and trying to get in the heads of Paul Ganey and all them Dingle players. And it worked. It really worked. So that's up there for me. New York Leitrim is another one. And just probably the significance of that game, what it did for the GA community across the globe, across in New York, but not just in New York, probably in London as well. In recently, like, I've got into contact with people that have, you know, taken up Gaelic games abroad. Like, you know, I've got in contact with Berlin GA, Equator Gaze in Uganda, and all of them are probably, you know, inspired by what New York did against Leitrim that day in the Bronx. So I would think it was brilliant for the whole GA diaspora and all that. I chatted actually in the Southern Star to Australasia GA, which is a combination of Australia and New Zealand GA over there, and they were absolutely gobsmacked at what happens with New York and Leitrim. So, and New York actually pushed Carlow close as well in the championship. So I think that kind of a win spurred on New York even more, and it was brilliant just to see the celebrations, even from Mikey Brosnan, New York born and bred, to kick the winning penalty. And that was just unbelievable moment in general. Derry Armagh, the Ulster football final, and the game that went to penalties. I thought that was a superb game of football. It really was. Shane McGuigan had a brilliant performance. Armagh kept fighting back. You had extra time there. You had Armagh losing and yet another penalty shootout. We'll get on to probably Armagh later on in the video about how many penalty shootouts they've lost, but that was an incredible game of football. Kieran McFaul obviously coming back into the Derry squad, kicking the winning penalty. Brilliant fairy tale stuff there. Looking at more here, I'm looking at Monaghan-Tyrone in the Ulster quarterfinal. Remember that Ryan O'Toole, that late goal? I think that has to be up there as well. Kilmacook-Crokes and Rahini in the Dublin football semi-final. Oh, yeah, that listed down. I think that was just the ending of that game. Luke Ward getting that winning goal. Rahini pushing Kilmacud all the way. That has to be up there as well. And the final one for football I have is Scotstown against Trillick in the Ulster semi-final. This game probably had everything. Kieran Hughes scoring that point. Rory Began being absolutely brilliant. Lee Brennan. Trillick coming back into the game. And Scotstown showing never say die resolve in many ways as well. So that has to be up there as well. But they'd be my nominees anyway. Most of them, there's a common trend here. Most of them are actually Ulster games, which probably shows the talent in the Ulster Championship rather than talent in the other provincial championships.
Yeah, what would you go with there, Seamus? I mean, some good moments. I mean, the Monaghan-Tyrone game, actually, now that Matthew mentioned it, I'd forgotten that game, but I remember actually that was a cracker, in fairness.
Yeah, and like, just on a side note, Matthew, I'm very impressed that that he mentioned the Kilmacud Crokes Raheny game, because like that's obviously just a Dublin club championship game. I know that it's garnered a lot of attention because of the fact that Kilmacud Crokes nearly went out, I guess, and that's why people were tuning in. But it was a fantastic game. It was a back and forth affair. Like, Raheny kept coming back time and time again. It was one of those things where, you know, you watch a game and you think, okay, realistically, how long can Raheny keep up with Kilmacud Crokes here? And they just kept coming back again and again and again, hit them late, should have won the game. And the fact that Crokes managed to get the goal from Luke Ward, get the game to extra time, then it went to penalties, and then Crokes slot away all five of the penalties and go on to the Dublin final. Like, it was a brilliant, brilliant contest. I thought the football final on the ladies' side between Dublin and Kerry, I thought that was a thoroughly enjoyable game of Gaelic football as well. The All-Ireland final between Dublin and Kerry, I did find really enjoyable. Back and forth, both sides definitely had their moments. For me, I would say Kerry and Derry is probably my number one. I just think that game was such a breathtaking game of Gaelic football. It was one of those where, you know, when we're making content about it, I was thinking, like, God, I need to get my reaction out to this as quick as possible, because this is, you know, that game was just box office. Everything about it, the back and forth, the matchups between the players, Christy McCaig and David Clifford, Jason Foley and Shane McGuigan, like, players going toe-to-toe, some of the individual performances. David Clifford was unplayable that day. Brendan Rodgers was insanely good. Like, back and forth between those two. And the fact is that Derry were a whisker away from winning it. I think if Garrett McInnes gets that ball past Shane Ryan into the back of the net, that puts Derry 5 points clear at that stage. And I think they would have powered on to win. And Shane Ryan gets a big paw to it. Kerry hang on. Stephen O'Brien comes in, changes the game. Kerry go on to win the All-Ireland semi-final. It was a brilliant game of Gaelic football. So yeah, I probably would say Kerry and Derry. But there's some serious, serious nominees there. No doubt about it.
Absolutely, yeah. No, like, I think we'd all be in agreement then that it was the Kerry and Derry game. Tomo says here, game of the year in football, Armagh versus Monaghan. I mean,
it was very dramatic
in terms of, yeah.
In fairness, the drama in that game was incredible. And me and Seamus actually reacted to that on his channel.
Live,
probably, well, that was the main thing as well. And ironically, I was on Aaron's channel to react to Derry and Kerry. So he was quite
I remember the Matthew, do you remember the penalty?
Yeah.
Matthew's stream was one second behind mine, or 2 seconds behind mine. So I went like, oh, saved. And then Matthew jumps like a second later. And then, do you know what was crazy? I didn't tell you this. There was one guy. So, you know, you check the live chat after when it's done. There was a guy who was in the stadium. And obviously we're watching it live, so we're a few seconds behind. A guy had commented, but I didn't see it in the live chat. A guy had commented saying, Monaghan won. Like, he tried to spoil it last second. He commented live saying, Armagh missed the fifth penalty, Monaghan win. Or something like that. And he was right. Callum Comiskey, wasn't it, that stepped up and missed?
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh my God, this guy tried to ruin the whole thing. He literally tried to tell me the ending.
Yeah. Sometimes, though, I do find, because I've had a few streams before, people have said, oh, there's a goal here, there's a point here, you know, Kildare have, you know, scored a goal or whatever, something's happened here, and then it isn't the case. But, yeah. You know, or maybe it was someone from the future, who knows?
Maybe it was. Or maybe he was in the stadium and he was 10 seconds ahead or 30 seconds ahead of us or whatever.
Yeah. But what I found actually, I was watching even the stream tonight with Aaron, it was Cork and Dublin earlier on, the year I was behind in that as well. Aaron was watching on TG Car, I was watching on GA Go, and we obviously, me and Seamus were both watching Aaron on GA Go. So I think that was kind of the reason why I was behind in so many of the games. And Derry and Kerry, I was on par with Aaron, and that was on RT. So maybe there's an argument for that too.
Yeah, no, that was the best reaction I've seen. Brian Hurley shot at the end.
Yeah.
That was the bit. Just his swear words just come pouring out around. The ball hits the grass, man. Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, I think for me it was more relief. I was like, oh,
yeah, damn lucky in that game.
I think the Clare game was the one the week previous, I think, or maybe it was
Clare should have won.
But we'd had a few scary moments up until that point, like Kildare and a few. Like, I remember going into it thinking Dublin should win, but it's probably not going to be like a hammering or anything like that. And then Jesus, yeah, like we got very lucky, especially remember with the decisions, the red card as well. Like they went to the Cork went down to 14 men.
Yeah, I remember the old red cards. Yeah, that was the one where Dean Rock had that done to his jersey, and it was a second yellow or something, wasn't it?
Mm.
For Ian Maguire.
Yeah.
And then Lee Gannon got sent off for nothing as well.
Yeah. No, there was some mad ones, all right. But I suppose maybe that's a good segue into the next one, which I think we're all in agreement there. Game of the year, Derry versus Derry 2023. Derry versus Kerry 2023. Controversy of the year. Plenty of controversies here. You mentioned decisions. I remember the penalty that David Goff awarded in the Cork versus Kerry game, which was very controversial. Obviously, the GAA goal controversy that we've mentioned before. Game, you know, the amount of games that have gone to penalties, a lot of people questioning that. But of course, who can forget earlier in the year, Wattie Grahams Glen versus Kilmacud Crokes in the All-Ireland Club Football Championship. Dara Mullen was supposed to be substituted, ended up staying on the pitch. Kilmacud Crokes finished with 16 men. All the talk was about replays 17.
Paul Mannion was on the pitch as well.
Paul Mannion stayed on. Yeah, Paul Mannion was like on the sideline, but Darren Mullen was like actually on the goal line.
He was in the. But look, that was big controversy. What did you think of that?
That was mental. That was right at the start of the year as well. Like I remember because I was at the time I was working in a hotel. And I remember I seen it and I thought, God, like I'm going to look into this a little bit I'm going to make a little clip about it now and see what people think. And I popped in for a 15 minute break, took my 15 minutes, recorded that really quickly and thought, okay, I'm going to go back to work now. And then when I went back to the end of my shift, like so many people were engaged in that debate, should the game be replayed? And the way it took off so quickly across the country in terms of like people were talking about that game between Wattie Grahams Glen and Kilmacud Crokes. Like, I don't think, have we ever seen an All-Ireland club football final get more talked about after than that Glen Kilmacud Crokes game? I don't think so.
Hmm.
I don't think we've ever seen a club final captivate an entire country like that before. And here's the truth, it was everything building up with that, wasn't it? Like, it was Shane Walsh's transfer. It was the fact that Walsh had kicked 9 points in the All-Ireland final, Crokes as well, that they are seen by a lot of people as being as close to a professional club as Gaelic Games has. And then they go and they get probably the best forward in the country, along with David Clifford, who just kicked 9 points in the final. Like, and then they get through into the final against Glen and they win. They finally win the All-Ireland Club Championship in the most controversial of circumstances. Like, it really was like a powder keg. And then there was obviously the drama about, you know, Kilmacud Crokes said if they were ordered to replay, they'd just send the trophy to Glen. They wouldn't bother replaying it. And then in the end, nothing happened. And Kilmacud Crokes got away with it, in a sense. And they are All-Ireland Club champions. For a while, lads, I'm interested. For a while, I thought for a while it was going to be replayed. Did you?
Yeah, like I was, to be honest, actually, which it was more like, it was more the sense of at the start I was like, no, I definitely can't see this being replayed, like to begin with, just because of the fact that it already happened and because of the precedent within Gaelic football and hurling. Like, I suppose obviously we had that incident in hurling back in, you know, what was it, the 90s between Clare and Offaly, where the referee blows the game up early and then they go back and replay it, and then Offaly actually come back to beat Clare and then go on to win the All-Ireland. But then obviously we had the incident between Meath and Louth in 2010. Nothing was done there. There was no replay after that game. So I was thinking, it's just hard to know with the GAA. Like, it's hard to know if they're actually going to have the bottle to actually go and give a replay, or are they going to do absolutely nothing? But then, like, when it was coming out that Glenn were appealing it and everything else was happening, you just got the feeling that, all right, maybe something might actually happen here. What was your take on it, Matthew? Did you think there was ever going to be a replay there?
For a while, yes, but for other instances, no, because of the Allianz League, you know, it already started. A few Derry players actually played the first game against Limerick. I remember even that far back, Conor Glass, Conlon McGuckin, Ethan Doherty all got selected for their game against Limerick. They hammered Limerick anyway, so they probably didn't need them, but Rory Gallagher in the end picked them players in general. But another example, it happened during the year in the Cork Championship, actually, that sort of incident again. Blarney and Bride Rovers in Senior A semi-final. A player was a 16 player for Bride Rovers on the pitch for a puck out. Blarney were leading by a point, going at the end of extra time, going to have a penalty shootout. Bride Rovers with the 16 players on the pitch win a free. Then the referee notices, he kind of notices there's 16 players on the pitch and orders the 16 player to get off the pitch. Bride Rovers get the free, pop the ball over, penalty shootout, Bride Rovers win the game. So then there was a complaint from Blarney to say the game should be replayed, and the game got replayed. And Blarney actually hammered Bride Rovers in the replay then. So there is some instances where this happens that the game does get replayed. And yeah, I thought it could have got replayed, but with the Allianz League, the structures, with the condensed schedule of the calendar, I think there were some instances why the game wouldn't get replayed. But I think the incident was Watty Graham's Lane actually retracted the complaint, and they decided, we're not going to do it, and they just left it at that. But another few nominees for controversy of the year. UL Camogie team actually got kicked out of the Ashbourne Cup in February. That was a big one. Because the Ashbourne Cup, it was it was very confusing in how it was structured. This is the college competition for Camogie teams across the country. And the University of Limerick got kicked out of it for no reason at all. They drew their game, they won a game. I think they had a game where they had a bye, and then they got kicked out of the competition. And the UL players actually went up to the finals day in the Ashbourne Cup and sat on the fence and just watched the games to make a stance. So that was definitely up there. Lee Chin getting racially abused against Tipperary in a charity game. That was big as well. And it probably, it probably epitomised there's still problems in the GAA with them sorts of things. And you nearly feel sorry for Lee Chin, what he went through that day. And obviously that Tipperary fan is no relation to Tipperary GAA whatsoever. The under-20th senior clashes is another one. A lot of complaints for Conor Laverty, the Down manager, the Cork manager, Ben O'Connor, and the Derry under-20 manager as well, about, I think, Lachlan Murray was supposed to play for Derry in the Monaghan Munster semi-final, and he couldn't play in the under-20 final against Down, and Derry ended up losing that game. So there was a bit of controversy around that. The Tipperary team sheet against Clare. Remember, lads, when Jason Ford was on number 7 and
Conor Bowe at number 3? Yeah. Absolutely rotten looking.
And Liam Cahill, did you see his excuse after the Roberts lads? It was because the two players that they weren't sure wouldn't make it because of injuries. I'm thinking, could they not just put them on the bench initially and make late changes? Jesus. You know, that was poor ridiculous.
That did my head in. Like, to be honest, I was just like, God, will you leave it? Like,
exactly. Yeah. There was another one, actually, another big one. The next one, Don Logue versus the Tatton Cup. Remember this?
That was
big as well. The Cork LGFA and the Camogie dual clashes. Another big one, actually, Dylan Cork Foundation jerseys. Remember Limerick and Tipperary? Yeah. They wore the Dylan Cork Foundation jerseys in the warm-up of their game, the Munster Championship. And they weren't allowed to wear a Dylan Cork Memorial jersey during the game because the GAA banned sponsorship or foundation charities. Which is that's an issue. An issue. And another thing as well, and some people might forget this because it was in June. A friend that I had on social media, Gerald Howley, his account GAA that's getting banned in June is another one.
Yeah.
by the GAA themselves. That's another incident that is definitely controversial. The violence in Hill 16, the punching that went on as well in July between Galway, I think Clare against Kilkenny and Monaghan against Armagh, that's another one. The treatment of referees, GAA go, state of Gaelic football in general, has the game got defensive? It's another one as well. So there's a few nominees, but if I was to pick one, I'd probably go for GAA go, to be honest. I'm not against GAA go totally, but it did cause a bit of divide across the country. When you look at it being on the RT News, when Ray Kennedy was reporting on it, you know it's serious when they're reporting on GAA go, and Danny Healy, Ray talking about it in the Dáil, Micheál Martin talking about it, Leo Varadkar. You know it's serious when you're talking about a GAA issue when it goes to the Dáil, really.
Yeah. Me personally, I'd say I know you've made, like, you've probably mentioned, I know you have it as a nomination, but for me, it has to be the treatment of referees. That was disgraceful. Lee Chin, in terms of like a controversy of the year, like, because you've also mixed in a couple of things there that, like, as nominations, you've like put in a couple of things that were really horrible to see. Like, that they weren't like split opinion. They were just around the board.
Almost beyond controversial.
Yeah, it's not controversial. It's just
outright horrible. Yeah.
Like Lee Chin, what was said to him is just disgusting. And like that, I don't know. Like, can you put that in the same category as the Kilmacool Crokes, Waddy Graham's Glen, in terms of level of being something that you don't want to see in your sport? I'd gladly see every final for the next 10 years go like the Kilmacool Crokes Glen game, rather than have the Lee Chin incident ever occur again in our sport. It was disgusting to see. Same thing with the referees. It was really sad as well what happened to Garrod. Like, it was absolutely horrible that his account just got taken. Like, that was insane. And hence, you know, on Clare, Gaelic Statsman and Gaelic Fan TV, like, you know, we all switched up. Then on other stuff as well, it was hard to see, like the referees, as I mentioned, that was absolutely disgusting. There were some dark moments in the year, like, there's no doubt about it. There was some dark moments this year. The charity, the GA not letting Tipperary wear the Dylan Quirk Foundation and not letting Limerick wear it was disgraceful as well. Like, as far as I'm concerned, whatever, if you want to talk about like sponsors and everything, but like Limerick don't even have a sponsor on the front of their jersey, so what's the issue?
Yeah, like,
the amount of times that Dublin have worn jerseys that have sponsors on it for once-off games, like the one that springs to mind is the support for Drummo jersey. Do you remember that, Aaron?
Yeah,
like, we've had loads of jerseys where it's charities on it. And look, for future, what I'd say, a simple solution for the GA, other sporting organizations have done it. They have a dedicated space on the top, or a dedicated space on the uniform for charities or for sponsorships. Why not have it that on the sleeve or something you can put charities, or on the back you can put a charity, or something like that? Because the GA is seen by a lot of people in the country every weekend. And for big charities like a Dylan Quirk charity, someone who gave his life to your organization, you should make room on that jersey for a charity like that. So yeah, I was disgusted when I seen that. And fair, like, while we're on it, lads, fair play to Joe Canning for calling it out. Like, mad respect for that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was good to see him highlight it, all right. And yeah, like, I suppose when you go through all them there, like, there definitely seems to have been a lot more controversial moments this year as opposed to previous years. I don't know if that's because of social media. I don't know if that's just the way, you know, a reflection on the way that society probably is right now in many ways. But
the one thing as well, Aaron, is the phones. Like, once anything happens, you see it.
Yeah.
Like, I've no doubt that Dublin and Meath in the 90s, lads, like, I'd say they absolutely punched the head off each other on the hill.
Yeah.
But there was no phones around to record it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it probably is the case, actually. Probably is the case, to be fair. Mikey says here, hey lads, I thought it was a really boring championship overall compared to 2022. I know at least two of you will disagree. Yeah, like, I thought the group stages were very exciting, but outside from that, I probably actually, and even when we go through some of our best and worst predictions here, we'll see, you know, we sort of thought it was going to be this mad and mental championship, but actually it didn't really turn out that way in the end. Like, you know, Kerry beating Tyrone comfortably was in some ways a bit of a disappointment in terms of we all expect that game to be so exciting. And it probably wasn't. It turned out to be very one-sided, and the same probably applied for Dublin Mayo as well. And then both semi-final, I suppose the Kerry-Derry game was very good. The Dublin-Monaghan game, from a neutral perspective, you know, wasn't probably the most entertaining game. And then the final had some good moments, but again, I think there were probably some great players on either team who didn't necessarily play to their best in fairness. Taking it back to controversy of the year then, like, I think the everything that was happening with Lee Chin, as I said before, like, I think that's beyond controversial. You know, I think that's just something that's a crime, you know, like, that's horrible. That's, you know, distasteful. And for any referees who've been assaulted, as we've obviously seen sort of for the past year, I would agree with that as well. I do think, as you said, the incident with Dylan Quirk and everything sort of that happened there, and obviously Joe Cannon coming out and highlighting it. I would probably have to go with that, to be honest with you, because how the GA, you know, didn't have the moral sense to be able to actually do that. It's a little bit mad. Like, what would you think? Would you go along with that, or how would you go about it?
I'd be happy to go with that. Yeah, I like any of the three that you just mentioned, the refs, Lee Chin, and the Dylan Quirk charity. I think they're the three things that actually made me feel kind of horrible, to be honest, when they happened. Like, I think when you're talking with controversy, I feel like, say, for example, the Chemical Croaks Glen one, it was like, it's split opinion, if that makes sense. There were people on one side that said that the game shouldn't be replayed, and there was people on the other side that said the game should be replayed. But the three incidents that we've seen, it was a fairly unanimous, everyone kind of had the same thought process around what happened with those, that we all kind of thought, like, with the refs, that's absolutely unacceptable. With Lee Chin, that's absolutely unacceptable. And that the GA should have let the Dylan Quirk charity be on the jersey. So personally, yeah, I'm happy with any of those.
There we go. Just taking it back, actually, we forgot to mention the game of the year in hurling, actually. Tomo was saying here, the Cork-Tipperary match in hurling. There was a lot of great games. I mean, Tipperary-Limerick was very entertaining. Cork-Limerick in the final day of the Munster Championship was a cracking game. The All-Ireland final was a cracking game between Limerick and Kilkenny, I felt. And I'd actually probably go with that as my game of the year. But what do you lads think? I mean, there's so many games to choose from there.
One game, actually, you're forgetting, Aaron, and this is top of my list, in my opinion, Galway-Kilkenny in the Leinster final.
Yeah, it was a great game.
I mean, that was a brilliant game. And even the end of it, Killian Buckley getting at a point, and Galway playing around in the corner, that's just a memorable moment, in my opinion. The performance from Conor Whelan, another disgrace as well. I know we're going off controversy here, but Conor Whelan getting interviewed after the game against Kilkenny, getting mad afterwards.
Yeah.
Do RT have any morals? It was just sad to see him like that. It really was, and that was probably disgraceful and so on, right? But Kenny Galway was a brilliant game. Actually, a few weeks ago, Ballygunner St. Thomas's in the All-Ireland club semi-final. Yeah, that was a brilliant game. Really was a really intense game, and obviously we got the shock. St. Thomas's beating Ballygunner was an incredible game of hurling. Obviously, the double act, Limerick and Clare in the Munster Championship, firstly in the round robin series, Clare beating them. The celebrations from Clare fans at the end of it, that goal from Peter Duggan was a memorable moment for me. And obviously, the Munster final, I think, was an intense game. It was a brilliant game in quality. And obviously, the stuff at the end, where should Clare got a free, should they have not got a free? And ultimately, I do think, I don't know if you agree with this, I do think there was more entertaining hurling games than there was entertaining football games. And it probably just shows the difference between the two sports at this present moment of time. Another one, actually, that goes in under the radar, Joe McDonagh Cup final, Carlo Offaly. I thought that was a good game. It really was, between two sides that really wanted to go on and win that game. Chris Nolan getting the winning score in that game as well. Cork Limerick, obviously Cork Tip is up there as well. Like, there's so many to choose, but if I was to choose one, I'd go for Galway Kilkenny in the Leinster final.
What about Ballygunner, St. Thomas recently? That was a cracking game, something that neither of us expected. I think we all very much said Ballygunner would win it comfortably, and we were all proven wrong.
Yeah, I remember seeing it because, you know, you live your life and you go out and you see your friends and things like that. And I remember I was going out for work drinks, and Ballygunner and St. Thomas's was on, and I was keeping up with it. But then I remember looking on Instagram and I saw your post first, Matthew, like St. Thomas's have beaten Ballygunner. I was like, you are joking. I couldn't believe it. Like, absolutely couldn't believe it. That I just thought nothing could stop Ballygunner. Like, that's has to be right up there for shock of the year anyway. Like, Ballygunner looked imperious. They looked like nothing could stop them. For me, hurling game of the year, one of the games I really, really enjoyed was Westmeath Wexford. I thought that was a cracking game. Like, the way that Westmeath just reeled them in bit by bit by bit, and managed to get that famous victory, like, which nobody saw coming. And then when you're talking about the drama, Wexford beating Kilkenny on the final day to save themselves, that was a fantastic game in its own right. Like, there was such a back and forth between them, and Lee Chin performed heroics. Wexford saved themselves when they really, really need to. They won't want to put themselves in that position again. In terms of pure quality, like, start to finish, unbelievable quality, I'm going to go with Cork and Limerick. I think final day in Munster, just that, the quality in that game, for Cork to score 130 and to still lose, shows you the level that Limerick are at. And the fact is that it kicked off, do you remember this, lads? It kicked off a debate about should the structure be changed so that Cork would have gotten out of Munster. Cork played that well that they were knocked out of the championship. Like, on paper, they were knocked out of the championship at the provincial stage, and they were being praised around the country for how well they played. Like, it takes a special game to get to that level where both teams are praised no matter the result. And, like, Cork pushed Limerick as much as any team has in that game. And Limerick were hanging on, like, by the absolute fingernails to their All-Ireland titles. And that game proved how great they are.
What are we thinking then for game of the year?
Another thing, just wanted to add for Cork and Limerick, actually. Cork, I know stats, so you'll do stats in games, and obviously that's probably a big part of what I do. But Cork had a 78% shot accuracy in that game and still lost as well. 130. Yeah. How on earth did they lose that game? And the attitude in Cork was kind of a weird feeling. Nobody was like, you know, ranting about the Cork hurling team as a disgrace and all that. Nobody was saying that. We were just saying they were so unlucky. And we, even when you look at the Munster Championship in general, lost to Clare by a point by not playing well, drawing against Tipperary when the game could have gone either way. And I actually felt sorry for them the way they went out, because it was just unjust. And the fact that I know we talk about championship structures and going off point to small, but the fact that Carlo, Offaly and Dub got further in the championship in Cork probably made a mockery of what the hurling championship is at this present moment in time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Cork would have, like, I don't mean to say this in bad iron, but I think Cork would have beaten Dublin hands down this year in the championship. And I think Cork would have beaten Carlo and Offaly. I think that goes without saying as well. So it is interesting, but I think that's what makes the Munster Championship so electric, is that two top sides are going to go no matter what. Two top sides are going to get knocked out. And, like, for next year, God, I think I was talking to a colleague in work, and he was saying, well, okay, feel like Waterford aren't looking too great right now. But he said, who else would you think is in trouble? Nobody really. I think all other four teams look incredibly strong. So it's going to be very hard to make your predictions, and maybe we'll be rolling the tape in a year's time about what we said, predicting the championships.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, like, I think we will, to be fair. And yeah, it is one of them, all right, like, in terms of Leinster and Munster. I think they need to try and find a bit more balance in fairness. So what are we saying then for game of the year? I mean, there's so many options, so maybe we can choose each individually. Like I'm going for the All Ireland final between Limerick and Kilkenny. I thought it was a cracker. I understand Galway Kilkenny being a really, really good game in the Leinster final, late drama, late goal, everything else. But I just think in terms of sheer quality, like Limerick Kilkenny game was just absolutely unbelievable. I know Kilkenny probably were a little bit poor towards the end, but that's what I'm going with. What are you going with?
I'd probably go Galway Kilkenny just because of we talk about Mayo organised chaos. That was certainly organised chaos in that game, and it was just incredible to watch that game. And going into the game, it was all negative about Leinster hurling. And for Galway Kilkenny to produce a game like that, I thought it was just memorable. And just that moment where Killian Buckley struck the ball into the back of the net, I thought that was just a memorable moment of the year. So I'd have to go with that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cork and Limerick. I just think that game was just... I just feel like any of the three games that we've said, if you were to bring someone over to Ireland and want to show them a game of hurling that would best represent the sport, I feel like any of those three would do. And I, like for me, Cork and Limerick, the setting, like a packed out, way like sold out in advance stadium, packed into the gills. And just watching two world-class teams under the splitting sunshine play out a battle, I thought was just perfect.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, and I think as you both were saying there, like I think it probably is a reflection upon hurling right now, the fact that you have so many unbelievable games over there. And then in football, it's, you know, you've got maybe one, two or three that you can think of. But hurling, you've got probably 7, 8, 9. And it's probably even certain games here we haven't mentioned, club games up and down the country. Like even O'Loughlin Gales versus Nafina recently, I thought was a very entertaining game in fairness. So yeah, I think we'll go ahead from that and move on. Funniest moment of the year in terms of Gaelic games. I mean, bit of an interesting one, like in terms of funny one moment that actually did stand out for me, which happened in a club game a little bit recently. Well, I'll just share my screen here and we'll have a look at Twitter. So I don't know if people remember when there was a game that basically happened between Cross McGlen and Trelick, and there was a pitch invader. There was a pitch invader. There was you never quite know what you're going to get with pitch invaders sometimes. But we had an old dog coming onto the field, just chilling with the lads. You can see Aaron Kiernan there, just sort of like, what do we do here? You know, what's the plan here? And the dog just doesn't want to leave. He's like, I'm cool here. I'm very cool to play football with the lads and everything else. I think that was a funny moment. I think a personal funny moment would have been myself and Matthew's reaction to the Cork Dublin game.
Yeah.
Which we'll get up on the screen in a moment. But any other funny moments that yous can think of?
We had one on my podcast where I went to talk to Matthew and Luke and I was muted. And I spoke, I think, for 20 seconds and nobody was responding. It was a long day. I was tired. And eventually Luke was like, Seamus, you're muted. We can't hear you. And I just, that was a bad old day. And it was live, so I couldn't even like do anything about it. It's up there for the rest of my life. But I thought a funny moment for me was, it was on Twitter as well recently. It was the one where it's a club game and the corner forward takes a shot off his left foot and it goes so clearly wide and the umpire raises the white flag. You've definitely seen that clip.
Yeah, that was mental.
That one's brilliant.
That's literally a meme right there. Something, you know, where's the brown envelopes and all this?
That's like when your mate's dad's behind the goal doing umpire for your team. Like the dodgy coach that gives every score. Like Rory Stories literally did a caricature of an umpire like that every club has one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane.
There's some funny moments, right? I think one that needs to be talked about, Don Low Cusack versus Joanne Cantwell, the argument. You could see that Joe Canning and Anthony Daly were just having a laugh about it. Anthony Daly was ready to cause a laughing fit. Like, he was absolutely enjoying his thing. Like, Joe Canning couldn't believe what was happening. He was just in the middle, like, yep, this is fine. This is fine.
Yeah.
Keep arguing. Oh, that was such a funny moment, I have to say. A few things with RT calling people the wrong names. I have three examples here. RT calling Liam Jackson from Low Connor Corbett was...
Yeah, John Kenny.
Yeah, that was... Oh, my God, that was really, really funny. Who else? No, Lee Keegan calling John Cleary Pat was another one. That was like just random. Anthony Daly calling Evandy Quill and Joanne is another one that needs to be talked about. The Glenn Ryan stuff, obviously. Waterford bowing to Davy Fitzgerald. I'm not sure did you see that, lads, before the Clare game, where the Waterford players were dressing up and they were just bowing to Davy Fitz. That was just comedic gold to an extent. Another one was the Paul Flynn tweet, where he said David
Clare. Talk about having the fear, lads. Imagine the fear he had the next day.
We've all been there, in fairness. We've all been there.
Oh, God.
Oh, that was really funny and fearless. There was another few. Look, David Callahan doing the Emmy Martinez impression at the Munster final. It was kind of funny. You know, he was just loving it. Glenn Ryan. Dublin fans booing Roscommon in the hill when Roscommon were holding the ball. Apparently, that was hilarious to Roscommon fans. I don't know. Aaron, you were there. You were there, so...
Yeah.
I think it was also just being our own team, like, because we were just, I don't know, it was just it was so much frustration. I think it wasn't just labels necessarily. It was common for keeping the ball for such a large part, but it was also because we were having a terrible game and it was looking more and more like we were going to lose. And you remember, like, that followed on from the disappointing performance against Kildare, like the sort of how poor we looked throughout the league at different times. Tomo actually is a good one here. He says a guy running up to TJ Reid in the Leinster final. Don't know if you saw that, but it was a guy who was on his stag and he was dressed as TJ Reid, and he got through security and he was just there celebrating with the team as if he was a normal Kilkenny player, and then ends up getting a photo with TJ Reid as well. Like, I thought that was quite good, because, like, especially for TJ Reid and the Kilkenny lads, like, they could have been like, oh, who's this guy? Like, get rid of him. Like, he's not on the team. Whereas instead, they actually embraced them. And although I wouldn't necessarily recommend for supporters and fans to be dressing up as players and everything else, because it is a bit of a security hazard and everything else, and probably not the best thing to do. But look, at the end of the day, we appreciate the laugh, we appreciate a bit of crack, and I thought that was a good one as well, to be fair.
Yeah, that was funny. I think the dog for me, or the umpire giving a point. I think that has to, like, the umpire giving a point, I think, or like, it's just general clips. And there's general clips. I think there was one of a club championship game that I seen where the keeper took a kick out and it blew back and went out for a 45 and stuff. Like, just clips like that, I always just find them funny. I think difficult. Oh, for anyone who doesn't like Armagh losing on penalties for a third time out of three.
Yeah.
That was probably funny. I'd say that would be top of Tyrone's list, or top of Derry's list, or Monaghan's list. Or...
I think that was Tyrone's highlight of the season, I think.
Yeah, it probably was. They didn't really do much themselves.
Yeah, or Glenn Ryan maybe going mad in Croke Park, as we said.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Another one, actually, on TikTok. I don't know, does anybody know the soccer TikTok kind of thing? A Liverpool fan called John Morley, he set up a GA account on TikTok, and Mayo were going well in the season. Then they lose to Cork, and then the rant came. That was funny, I have to say. I like Jonathan, he's a song lad.
But, Aaron predicted Mayo to win the All-Ireland.
Yeah, I did too.
I think that's the perfect segue, because as I was saying to the lads off air, and I'll say to the viewers now, we're going to do a worst prediction of the year and a best prediction of the year for all three of us. And I have the receipts, I have the videos here, I have them saved, and I'm including myself in here, obviously, as well. As I was saying to the lads, like, I only sort of looked through a lot of these this morning, so it was very, you know, I didn't have time to go through all of our podcasts, see all of the predictions, but certainly the viewers anyone there can remind us of any terrible predictions or any even good predictions that maybe we've forgotten. But how do we want to do this first? Do we want to do the worst predictions from each of us, or do we want to do the best predictions? Which one do we want to go?
I say the worst. Bite the bullet. Get it out of the way.
We'll do the worst. So So I suppose, Seamus, you were mentioning, first of all, obviously my prediction for the All Ireland. So let's have a reminder of what I said before an All Ireland Championship ball had been kicked. But yeah, not the best.
You know what that would leave? A repeat of the 2021 All Ireland final. But you know what? I think it's going to happen. I think Mayo are going to win the All Ireland. They really do.
Stop it! Get some help.
The squad, the players, the ability that they have, the depth of options. Because in this game as well, if this was the All Ireland final, you know, you'd look at last 10, 15 minutes, what players could Mayo bring on? They could probably bring on Killian O'Connor. So that's why I would fancy Mayo to do it. I would fancy them to do it and to win the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship for the first time since 1951.
Yeah, not so good there.
And you predicted Tyrone to be in there with them.
I know. I don't know where, like generally my predictions this year were, like, I was saying to the lads there, like, I was trying to find a good prediction for myself. I actually struggled. Like, I actually took up most of my time to find, there was a few okay.
You're good with the club ones.
The club ones, yeah. I was looking at the club ones, but again, I didn't think there were any, like, really big ones, you know. Like, I obviously predicted Limerick to win the All-Ireland, but, like, everybody did. Do you get what I mean? So it was like... Yeah. I was trying to find one of them. But I did find one, to be fair, that actually wasn't too bad. But we'll get onto that maybe a little bit later. Let's have a look then at Matthew, who had a... Yeah, he did. This was during our Cork season preview in 2022. And he had this to say about the Dubs, which I thought was it. Now, to be fair, I was kind of saying this as well. But look, we had to find something.
In regards to Dublin, it'll hurt you to say this, Aaron. I don't think Dublin are challenging Kerry this year. I know Jack McCaffrey and Paul Mannion are back, but my trouble with Dublin is their defensive line. Cluxton was a huge miss in goal. Evan Comerford's a decent goalkeeper, but he's no Stephen Cluxton, without a doubt. You're missing those nitty-gritty players, Philly McMahon, Michael Darmacaulay. You're missing those sorts of players in the team, and I think that'd be a big blow to Dublin.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, you weren't to know that Stephen Cluxton.
I mean,
so maybe your opinion might have been different there. But actually, in the end, Dublin's defensive line actually was fairly strong in the end.
When McCaffrey came back,
So, I don't know, but Dublin wouldn't challenge Kerry this year. Well, to be fair, in the league, we didn't think that way, that Dublin would challenge Kerry.
No.
Because of the way Dublin
were
performing.
In the league, we were awful. I remember the Roscommon game, we were so bad. Like, the Roscommon game, we were terrible.
Even the Kildare game, he won by 2 points. That was probably a low point. I know he won the game at the end, but
that's true, Gavin.
Yeah,
he literally said, "Imagine if Monaghan win all penalties." And then the minute that Armagh missed, he like commented saying, "I did it" or whatever. Like, that he's a genius prediction.
There we go. I need to see more of this guy. Maybe I don't know. I don't know who he was, but maybe the mystery man himself. Was there any other predictions, Matthew, you think that I missed, maybe, that you would say were not so good? I remember because I was listening through, and I remember you were certainly quite critical of Mead, and then I remember they went out and beat Cork, and that was a bit of a mad one. But then actually you were kind of right in some ways about Mead, because they actually did go on to have a bit of a poor season in the league and in the championship. But any other ones you think that maybe were a little bit worse than the one we shown?
I think the Mead one, especially what they did to Cork, I think that was pretty bad. When I predicted they'd be on TikTok to get relegated, I said they'd finish seventh. And then they go beat Cork and Parky Heave on the first day, and that was just really, really bad to take. But obviously Mead recovered well, and, you know, I praise Mead for that. I think
one of the worst. I'm trying to think of. I think Tyrone beating Kerry. I predicted that, and that was pretty bad. I said in my own podcast that Tyrone are better man markers than Kerry, and Kerry absolutely blitzed them. But I think it was 12 points in the end. So, yeah, that wasn't a good prediction on my part. And even a prediction a while back now, I think it was a 2021 season preview on Cork. I know it was not this year, but I said in that video, I look back on your channel, Aaron, I said Blake Murphy for Cork would be a David Clifford type player for Cork. It hasn't materialized that way at all. I hope Blake does in the future, but certainly he hasn't got to David Clifford's level, not even inter-county level yet. So that's another prediction that I kind of messed up in many ways. But yeah, I think probably if I was to pick one, probably the Kerry in Tyrone. I predicted Tyrone would have been better band markers than I'd have to take that as an L.
Yeah. Well, I suppose you might have already mentioned it there, but let's have a look at Seamus's prediction that didn't go according to plan.
Do you know what? I'm gonna go for Tyrone. I'm gonna go for Tyrone. I just think this is what they do.
How dare you?
And I'm gonna say Tyrone by a couple of points in a battle. But I'm just saying, do you know what? As well, I'm leaning into how the championship has just been this year.
Yeah,
like Galway getting knocked out. Of course, Galway got knocked out. Because like, that's what this year has been like. And I'm, you know what? I'm gonna say, continuing with the whole theme of it all being shaked up, I'm going to say Kerry get knocked out.
To be fair, like I predicted that as well, and Matthew predicted that. Like you know,
I really believed it as well. Mm-hmm. I really believed it. I thought Kerry were going.
Yeah, it was just because of the form as well. Like, I mean, Tyrone had just beaten Donegal, hadn't they? You know, they just beaten Donegal quite comfortably. Kerry, I know, got that big win against Loud at the back end of the group stage, but had a poor enough league.
And he just got Cork should have beaten them without the ref decision as well.
Yeah, and you had Tyrone.
Yeah, hammered them.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, this one's a good one, actually. Shane was saying.
By Kerry, yeah, Anthony Miles, I remember that. That was really funny, I have to say. There's a video actually from, I don't know if you heard of him, lads, Andrew Minehan. I think he's from Kerry, he does UL journalism, I'm hearing. He's on Twitter anyway. If you just search him on Twitter, he hit the tweet that had Anthony Miles' comment and then of the Sean O'Shea goal and with the music, "We ain't going nowhere" in it. And to be fair, I know I'm a Car fan, but that was hilarious, I have to say. So, yeah.
Kerry, someone released a song for Kerry saying 38 and counting just before the All-Ireland final.
Yeah,
and Kerry lost.
I mean that's a bit like kind of the, I mean, I don't want to go too much off topic, but you know the scenarios with Mayo booking out hotels and venues and of all Ireland's. And look, to be fair, I understand preparation, because to be fair, I think you do need to be prepared. Do you know what I mean? And for if Mayo were to ever win an All Ireland anytime soon, do you know what I mean? Like the day after the celebrations, like, I mean, it's gonna be
if Mayo win an All Ireland, the county will be shut down for a month.
I can't understand the preparations, but I think just try and keep that in house. Don't let that leak out. But there we go. I mean, out of those three predictions, like I think my one probably is the worst, to be fair. Isn't it? Like I think we have to give that to me.
Well, like you see, it's harder to compare them because you were predicting the entire championship. I was predicting a one-off game that ended up going the other way by 12 points.
Yeah, was there any other predictions actually from yourself, Seamus, that maybe you got awfully wrong that I didn't?
I've got a couple wrong in the club championship now that I didn't expect to get wrong. I think, but I don't think I've had any shockers in the club championship. I don't think I've had any shockers. You've had it. You had one shocker with the Dublin, actually.
Yeah, I had
picking Ballyboden to beat Kilmacle Crokes.
Yeah, and I'd, as I said, you could have picked through a handful of my predictions. Like I predicted Mayo to beat us, predicted Kerry to beat us in the final. Look, it worked out. Yeah, I predicted Cork to beat Derry. I probably went a bit too rogue with my predictions. Maybe I tried to be a bit more adventurous and keep it interesting. And in the end, Yeah, I mean, some of them I did believe, though. Like, a lot of them I did believe, you know. Well, I believe every prediction, but I think there might have been an element.
While we're on worst predictions, I have another one that I made. The four All-Ireland quarterfinals, out of all them four, I got only one right. And the one I got right was Cork and Derry, the one I wanted to get wrong. I have to say. So, yeah, there's another one.
I think, what is it? I can't think. There's definitely one, though. There's definitely one that I got horribly wrong. Especially when you do the quick picks, like, especially when you point at which crest you think is going to win.
Mm.
It gets highlighted more, especially if it's the first prediction. I remember I think I picked Cara Finn to beat Bridget, and that was the first one up in one of the videos. So the minute the video starts, I've got it wrong. Like, the first one up, 3 seconds in, and I've got one wrong.
Yeah, I suppose we'll have a look at some of our better predictions then. So as I said, I couldn't find many for myself, so unfortunately this was the best one I could find. So let's have
Dark Horse, I think, is between Monaghan and Roscommon. You know, Monaghan could beat Derry. They could, you know, it's definitely not inconceivable in Croke Park as well. So Monaghan definitely a bit of a dark horse in my opinion, and I think Roscommon as well. With a bit more luck, you know, with a better draw than what has happened in my draw, I think, you know, they could go on a bit of a run.
Yeah, so that was, as I said, I mean, there might have been better predictions in there. Like, I was having a look earlier, like, in terms of, like, breakout star, I predicted Billy Drennan to be a breakout star in hurling, which wasn't a bad one, to be fair, for Kilkenny. But again, he didn't win Young Hurler of the Year or anything like that, so that's why I didn't include it. And yeah, I was mentioning Monaghan being a dark horse, and to be fair, they were. Like, they got to a semi-final. Roscommon as well, like, I suppose, beat Mayo, even though I definitely didn't predict that, to be fair. But yeah, I suppose we'll have a look at Matthews maybe next, and let's see what good prediction he got.
Yeah, exactly. So in this early stage, I'd probably say fourth for Cork. I'd be very hopeful about this team, John Cleary, you know, implementing his tactics. I just think Kildare at the moment, their forward line is scary. And when you look at Derry and Dublin, they were all in the semi-finals for a reason last year. I think they're way clear of Cork at the moment. But what I will say about Dave, the Dublin factor, Dublin are coming down to Parky Keeve. If Cork somehow make that a bit of an atmosphere, it could be a bit of a tricky game for Dublin there, coming down there. Like, I know Dublin don't particularly have the best away record in the league when it comes to that. So it could be a difficult game there. But look, I think Dublin, Derry, Kildare should be Wentley or Cork. And I think we'd be probably mid-table battling with probably Limerick, Clare, probably in around that area. So,
yeah, so I suppose, like, that was, like, Cork did end up finishing fourth in the end in the league, didn't they? So that was kind of the main one. I know you said Kildare have a scary forward line, and maybe that was slightly off, but obviously you said Dublin and Derry prediction was correct. And then even the Cork Dublin game, to be fair, did turn out to be a much much closer game than we anticipated.
Yeah, I suppose so. But there's few parts of that prediction that I know I'm a professionalist and all that, but I look at that prediction and there's something that's wrong. Like Kildare, I said, would finish third and that. And obviously, it was Lowe's. I did not see Lowe's coming up and finishing third. But to be fair, did anybody see Lowe's finishing third in Division 2? That was just incredible in its own right. And I said mid table with Cork would be Clare and Limerick, the two sides that went down. So maybe I was just being hoping that Clare and Limerick would do it for the Munster counties, but ended up not doing it in general. But fourth place, coming close to Dublin. Look, yeah, I said that, and yeah, I suppose that's one prediction I got right anyway.
Yeah, was there any other predictions that you think you might have gotten good? You know, any good predictions out there that you had this year?
I think in the club championship a few months back, when you and yourself and Kevin Kennedy, I was speaking to you on your podcast, Aaron, I said in the Munster championship, if Dingle were without Mark O'Connor, I say Castlehaven would win Munster. But if Dingle had Mark O'Connor, then Dingle would win it. And it ended up being that way. But I kind of got sidetracked for that prediction. I won't give credit and all that, but I got sidetracked for that prediction later on down the weeks because Kevin Kennedy actually mentioned about Castlehaven not being the dominant team in a game they should be. And I was wondering about that statement. Didn't they perform against Cracklow? They performed poorly.
And I was thinking, okay, but initially I did say Castlehaven would win Munster if Mark O'Connor wasn't there, and it ended up being that way.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah, it certainly did. We'll have a look at Seamus's prediction. This was in the Dublin in the Dublin preview last year. Not many people gave Dublin a chance. You know, I was going against them, Matthew was going against them, but Seamus was the one person out of the three of us that did have a bit of belief. In fairness,
Dublin could get to that final. There's a route there for them, and they're more than good enough. I think you write this Dublin team off at your peril, because recency bias is ridiculous. I mean, like, six All-Ireland titles that this Dublin side has won. And I mean, I know that a lot of lads have left. Like, a lot of lads have left that side. I can see us winning it. I really can. I can see Dublin winning the All-Ireland in 2023. If we play our cards right, if we, you know, manage McCaffrey right, if we manage Paul Mannion right, if we get our best team on the pitch for the biggest games, I think we can get over the line.
Yeah, and like, I suppose that was before, obviously, the league. And I don't know if you changed your opinion.
Even remember that.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think it was this time last year or something. I think it was like early January or something like that.
I thought, still wearing the same jumper, you already know.
look at this, you know, for bit of foreshadowing, you know.
I thought you were going to play the clip of the All-Ireland football final prediction on your channel, because I think I picked Dublin to win the final.
Yeah, so, no, you did, in fairness, yeah.
I had no recollection of that, but that's good to see. Yeah, I'll take it. like, a little extra one. This is a tiny little one that I was proud of. I picked Kilcormac O'Loughlin to beat Naveena handy. And I said I thought that it would be actually easy for Kilcormac O'Loughlin, and fairly was. Luke had a really, really good prediction as well. He, myself and himself, were given a preview for Ballygunner versus Sarsfields. And I was saying I thought Ballygunner would win, but they'd only win by a couple of points. And Luke was saying, trust me, it's going to be easy. Ballygunner are going to win. Yeah. And he was really confident in, no, Ballygunner are going to win comfortably. And I was like, I didn't believe him. And God, that was a fairly easy win for Ballygunner.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose maybe that brings us on to the next one, maybe, that we'll just go through maybe a little bit briefly, because I don't want to be here for too long. But upset of the year, I mean, you had the Westmeath Wexford one, which again was absolutely mental. And then, as we said, like, St. Thomas being Ballygunner recently was, yeah, like, nobody saw that coming. For me, it's either one of the other between them two. What do you think? Or is there any else in there? I mean, to be fair, Cork beating Mayo was a big one, actually.
Cork beating Mayo was huge. Actually, that day in general was an upset, because Westmeath drew against Tyrone as well, let's not forget. Armagh turned around their fortunes against Galway. And Kildare beating Roscommon, that was a huge game as well. And Cork beating Roscommon the next day as well, I thought was a big upset. But I would mention, I know I'm a Cork football fan and all that, but I wouldn't mention that. I'm going to go for Waterford Camogie reaching the All-Ireland final this year for the first time since the 1940s. I thought that was incredible what they did. I know they got beaten in the final by Cork, but just the emotion for the Waterford players after that Tipperary win, I thought was incredible. And that's a Tipperary team that hammered Waterford in the Munster Championship as well. And for them to, you know, regain themselves and reach the All-Ireland final, it was just an incredible moment. And just a refreshing thing for Camogie in general, because it's been the three over the years, Galway, Kilkenny, Cork. It took a while for a team to step up, and this year was Waterford. So for me, I'd go for Waterford Camogie being the upset of the year. Another nominee, actually, Loud in general, finishing third in Division 2.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been brilliant for Loud. That high in Division 2, even getting a chance of promotion going to the last game against Dublin. I thought it was incredible in its own right. But yeah, I'm going to go for the Waterford Camogie team as upset of the year.
There we go. I think to be fair, I'd probably actually agree with that as well. What do you think, Seamus?
Yeah, just reading your live comments, Gavin, has a great one there.
It's just Sligo. Brilliant. Oh yeah, Sligo drawn with senior, Sligo getting to final under 20 level. Yeah, that's also one as well. I mean, you had Monaghan as well beating Tyrone. That was another, I suppose, big surprise as well. I'm fearing it. I mean, maybe it was a surprise at the time. When we look back now, I think a lot of us have sort of said, you know what, Monaghan are more than capable of beating Tyrone. They've done it a couple of times, you know, in the last while, but it was a bit of a surprise at the time. But yeah, that's another one there.
Can
as
you
well.
Can you say upset in the opposite way, and how bad a team was?
Dublin, that letdown of the year? Dublin was common in terms of how bad Dublin were that day. Donegal and how bad they were for the year up until like the Monaghan game. How flat Tyrone were against Kerry, how flat Mayo were against Dublin. I feel like they are good shouts. Personally, upset of the year for me has to be Westmeath Wexford. Like the Waterford Camogie one is a brilliant pick. But I think for me personally, I would be more surprised. I think I would have been more surprised at the news of Westmeath beating Wexford, having been, 10 points down at halftime?
Yeah.
Rather than Waterford beating Tip in the semi-final.
Yeah, I think it was more than 10 points when Westmeath, I think it was like towards 12. The 20, I think it was 20-something, 21, 22 points or something like that they were down by.
What?
I think so, yeah. I think
maybe it wasn't that, was it?
I don't think it was.
No, maybe not, no.
21 points down at halftime. Did they score in the first half?
I'm gonna check it though. But while I am checking it, another upset this year that's kind of good. Oh yeah, Dong scoring 8 goals at the Tatton Cup semi final. I know they were expected to beat Leash, but to score 8 goals in a semi final,
8 goals is insane.
I think that was a big upset too.
Yeah, that was one in fairness.
Speaking of Leash knocking out Fermanagh in the Tatton Cup.
Didn't
see that coming. Fermanagh were very flat in the Tarleton Cup, and I really didn't see it. I thought they'd be one of the dark horses for the Tarleton Cup.
I mean, considering they won division, well, they didn't win the Division 3 title, but they came up, you know, they were promoted from Division 3, so I think a lot of people had them as one of the favorites.
I really thought that they would push it. Cavan, Who took out Cavan? Was it Down?
Yeah, Down.
I did predict Cavan, but I don't think it's that much of an upset.
I was just looking at the Westmeath and Wexford game on score show here. Halftime in that game was 2-15 to 5 points, so 16 was the margin.
16, okay. So somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, then. Slap bang in the middle.
That was mental.
5 points they scored in the first half. And just on a side note as well, as you know, when you're talking about the level of hurling has gone through the roof. I watched highlights of the 2004 All-Ireland hurling final between Cork and Kilkenny, the one that Cork won the first of their back-to-back titles. Kilkenny scored 9 points in the entire game.
Yeah, there was a lot of low-scoring games back then.
They only scored 2 points in the second half.
It's like a football. It's like a football game.
Yeah. 2 points in the second half in a game of hurling. That was mental. Like when you're talking about like kind of how the game has come on, and when you're talking about Limerick, that's why in my head, Limerick are already the greatest team of all time. And if you put that peak Limerick team against any hurling team that's ever played the game, I think Limerick win.
Yeah, I think I would probably agree at this moment in time. I think they are the greatest team, and especially when you look at the evolution of the game, the condition and the way they play, like the way they play now is completely different to 10, 15 years ago. Maybe if that Kilkenny team was around now, maybe, you know, you could make a case that Kilkenny, with the way hurling is now in terms of conditioning, the evolution of the game,
they would have a
chance. But
because the argument is, just last point on it, is that TJ Reid is still one of the best in the country. Do you know what I mean? And he's kind of like from that era slightly. He was coming into the Kilkenny team. He made his debut in 2008, I want to say. But like, he's still one of the best in the country. He has modern day conditioning. So like Henry Shefflin, Jackie Tyrrell with modern day conditioning probably would be even better than they were.
Yeah, and I suppose speaking of Limerick, like, this brings me on to the big one, really. Moment of the year, achievement of the year, whatever way you want to phrase it. I mean, we had some huge ones. Obviously, Limerick, as you said, winning the 4 in a row, winning 5 in a row in Munster. Obviously, Dublin winning the All-Ireland, I do think was a big moment in both men's and in ladies. Both teams sort of similar in some ways in terms of, you know, players not there that were there, you know, a couple of years previous, and obviously trying to win back titles from their rivals, and both went and done that. as Matthew said, Waterford getting to the All-Ireland Camogie final was a significant achievement. He had some big under, you know, achievements. Sligo, obviously, you know, again, you know, getting to the final at under 20 level. Kildare, obviously, going on to win it. But in terms of big, you know, the standout moment or the best moment of the year, Matthew, I'll come to you first. What would you go for?
Yeah, I have a few kind of, we talked about significant achievements like the Waterford Camogie, New York beating Leitrim and all that, but I'm going to go for probably three ones in particular, which kind of, one that is close to me as a Cork fan, and two which are just emotional. But the one that's close to me is obviously Cork getting the standing ovation against Roscommon in Parkinkeave. I know it's only little, but I just think the way the fans got behind the team that day was just incredible. So I'm going to go for that from my personal point of view. But two of the emotional ones, the Clifford brothers honouring their mother in the Munster final against Clare. Their mother died on Saturday. They go and play the Munster final on the Sunday, and David and Paddy both produce unbelievable performances that day. And it, just the mental strength of both of them to come out that day in the Gaelic grounds and perform the way they did was just incredible. And another one actually just actually got brought to my attention a few days ago. Niall Murphy, the Sligo captain's speech in the Division 4 final. He was talking about, we did this for Red Oak Murphy.
Yeah.
And that really, you know, that was a year after Red Oak passed away. And I think that was just an emotional moment in my opinion. So for me, though, I'd probably go for the Clifford brothers honouring their mother the way they did in that Munster final. I'd probably go for that as my moment of the year.
Yeah, no, I'd forgotten about that one, actually. And yeah, like, in terms of a moment of the year, like, to, I still can't even, like, comprehend, how to do that. Like, it just shows how strong of, you know, of people that they are to actually go and play such a significant and huge game after losing a parent. Like, it just, it's, you know, it's mad. But, yeah, as you said, you have to commend them. Seamus, what about yourself?
Yeah, those three that Matthew said are beautiful moments. The Cork fans, it shows that, like, Cork football is back on the uptick, and, like, be keeping an eye out for them over the next 5, 6, 7 years. And the two moments with the Cliffords and with Niall Murphy, they were just genuinely touching moments. Like, genuinely, with the Cliffords, like, your heart went out to them. Like, because they were still, not only were they, you know, people wanting them to play, but people were putting a lot of pressure on them as well to carry their team. And I get, that's one of the things why it hurt me when people were saying about David, you know, oh, David didn't turn up in the final, and people were saying that. It was like, you can't even comprehend what would happen to your headspace, losing your mother. Like, and that was his first final without his mom, and just things like that. Like, it reminds me of, you know, the Michael Jordan documentary, when, like, he has the scene where it's his first ever NBA game without his dad watching. And things like that. And it's just like, you can't underestimate the impact that has on you in your everyday life. And the way that they led their team for the rest of the year, they are absolute role models. They are fantastic sportsmen, absolutely brilliant Gaelic footballers, and absolutely just lovely blokes as well. Anytime I've seen them do interviews, they're really, really kind and respectful to everybody that they come into contact with. For lads that, if we're honest, could have massive egos. Like, David Clifford has had people call him the golden child since he kicked the football, probably. And yet he still comes across like a really down-to-earth fella. So, yeah, I've nothing but admiration for them too. And it's a worthy, worthy shout for moment of the year. In terms of other moments that I think deserve a shout, one moment which definitely flies under the radar is in late December, when Jennifer Dunn became the first ever Irish player to win an All-Ireland title and an AFL Premiership in the same year. Like, that's ridiculous. That's the equivalent of, like, you know, when you got a video game and you just skip to the final level.
Yeah.
It's just immediately straight in to a Premiership winning team. Unbelievable, unbelievable sportswoman. Moment of the year candidates as well. The Kilkenny Clare game had a few in the All-Ireland hurling semi-final. Like, Owen Murphy's save was just insane. I thought my personal one, which shows the DNA of Kilkenny, Conor Fogarty's block on Mark Rogers, where he literally just threw himself on the ball. Absolutely unbelievable. Waterford making the All-Ireland Camogie final. Like, unbelievable moment. Again, I know we've touched on that in Upset of the Year. For me personally, I am going to agree with Matthew, though. I think the Cliffords paying respect to their mom is just... It's just an unbelievable moment that they were able to pull themselves together and, you know, soldier on for their county. Like, absolutely special, man. No question about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, I don't think anyone can disagree with that. In terms of achievements of the year, then, you mentioned, obviously, Jennifer Dunn. That was obviously a significant one, as you said. Any others you think that stand out in terms of achievements from teams, counties, or individuals?
The nine All-Irelands.
Yeah. I mean,
Stephen Whitson, James Mack, and Mick Flanagan.
Yeah.
That has to be one of the first up there. Nine All-Ireland medals. They're immortal now. They have the most All-Ireland medals of any Gaelic football player on the men's side of all time. I believe it is.
And I think I saw as well in terms of like the role of honour. I think
like Breach Stack has 10 and players like that have more.
Yeah. But even in terms of counties, like I think only like Kerry, Mead, maybe go. But I think only Kerry and Mead in terms of like, you know, counties winning All-Irelands. Like a lot of those lads have more All-Irelands than counties have won, which is crazy as well, you know.
There's another stat. I think
you can see most of All-Irelands as Galway. Three lads.
That's insane.
Yeah. I think it was the GA room put up Third Man Tackle GA put up the graphic, and it was like Leinster titles, and it was like Dublin. Stephen Cluxton, Meath. That's like Stephen Cluxton's like 17 Leinster titles. Or something like insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. And to be fair, I'm pretty sure he's a Meath fan as well. So it's probably painful, you know, trying to actually sign that, you know.
Big time.
Yeah, another few achievements that I've done here. Actually, Ian O'Connor's hat trick in the Camogie final. In terms of achievements, I think the last player to do it in any of the four codes at senior level was Shane O'Donnell in 2013 against Cork. So for Amy O'Connor to hit a hat trick, and not just a hat trick, and what was it, Seamus? 4 minutes? Five minutes?
Insane.
So, like, that was just insane. Really was. And Amy O'Connor's an incredible player, and I'm absolutely delighted for her for that. Another few, Meath winning the Tailteann Cup. I know Meath shouldn't have been in that situation, but for them to win the Tailteann Cup after getting a lot of flack, really, going into it, including for myself. But for Meath to go on and win it was incredible.
To follow with Sean Boylan and Colm O'Rourke as well after. That was one of the hardest photos of the year. Like, if we're talking like most iconic photos.
And another two that I want to flag really is the Carlow team winning the Joe McDonagh Cup when nobody expected them to. At the start of the year, would you put Carlow, I'd say, fourth in the running? Behind, I'd say, Laois, Offaly, Kildare because of their league form, Kerry. So you might have put them fifth.
Yeah.
And for them to go on and win it was just an incredible achievement. It gone under the radar, I thought, for many people, because Carlow were not expected to win it. And they went on and won against a very good Offaly side in the Joe McDonagh Cup final. And the record breakers themselves, we talk about record breakers with Dublin, but the history makers, the generational team, Limerick Hurlers, that second half performance against Kilkenny, it was probably one of the best second half performances or one half performances I've ever seen out of a Gaelic Games team. It was just incredible. Just watching them in full flow. And even John Coyley after the Galway game in the semi-final was saying that we didn't do much on the sideline, we just let them at it. Just epitomised what kind of team, what kind of tight-knit group they are. And they're just an incredible team that they should be cherished. They really should be throughout the whole media landscape of Gaelic Games. Unfortunately, they're not in some instances, Buff Egan. But they are an incredible team. They deserve a lot of credit for what they're doing at the moment. And they're going to Limerick in general this year.
Yeah, like if I had to pick my achievement of the year, I would definitely look at Dublin's All-Ireland win. I do think is a lot of significance to it. Absolutely no doubt about it. Coming back from really struggling earlier in the year, being wrote off by most people, including myself, and looking like it was just going to be another very disappointing year. But I do think Limerick overall, like in terms of who they have to compete with, the standard of hurling, having the injuries that they had as well, losing their captain and Declan Hannan through injury, and then still being able to produce those performances against Galway and Kilkenny. Like, let's not forget, there was moments in both of those two games, you know, specifically the Kilkenny game, where it looked like they were done. It looked like it was over. It looked like it was finished. And to have that, like, mental fortitude to come back and win was huge. And look, to be fair, like, between the Dublin and the Limerick moments, it's, you know, splitting hairs, really, like, because both are actually sort of similar in some ways. Like, Dublin were looked down and out at different moments against Kerry and found a way to dig themselves back. But yeah, where would you go, Matthew? Or Seamus, would there be anything else maybe you'd look towards as achievement of the year?
Very difficult to Dixborough winning their first ever Camogie title is a hell of an achievement as well. Like, I'm sure we could think up of a load.
I actually have one here. I know it's Cork, or we did and all that, but Kilmaster are the 25th best team in Cork, beating Milltown Castlemaine, the 9th best team in Kerry. I think that has to be up to their achievement of the year. I think that would be incredible for just to show the strides that Cork football has come in the past year or so. So that has to be up there, in my opinion. So yeah, I know another one. I'm trying to think of club championship moments of the year. Probably Trillick winning the Throne Championship without Matty Donnelly could be up there.
I think that's winning Dublin without Donald Burke.
Yeah.
Nafina. And
Cruz to it as well. Looked like they didn't need him. Just something that is insane. Personally, I probably would go the nine All Ireland, the ninth All Ireland for the Dublin lads, because now they're the most, in terms of the men's side, they have the most All Ireland football medals. Mm. You still have a way to go to catch that Cork team. Yeah. That had won 11 titles in 12 years, but 9 All Irelands is absolutely insane. And they move ahead of the Kerry team of the 80s now in terms of how many All Irelands they have, so which shows how good they are.
Yeah. Do you know, I think I'll go with that as well. Like, I think obviously being there as well in the moment, seeing it in the flesh, like, it was definitely...
That's it. We witnessed greatness when there's no doubt about it. It just, you know what it reminded me of? Like, it reminded me of, like, do you know, like, in boxing, say, for example, if a dominant champion retires because he doesn't have anybody left to fight and a new champion comes along and looks really good and the old one comes back and beats the new one.
A bit like Tyson Fury in some ways.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what happened. Kerry, Dublin did lose a good chunk of their team. Mm. Like, Stephen Cluxton went, Eric Lowndes went, and Eric Lowndes is someone who goes under the radar. He's class. Like, he just stepped away. Jack McCaffrey went, Paul Mannion went, and that's not even mentioning the people that retired, like Michael Aaron McCauley, Kevin McMenamin, Paddy Andrews. Like, the list goes on.
Mm.
And yet Dublin got the band back together of lads that were still available and still around to play for the Dublin team and beat a Kerry side that people thought they couldn't beat to prove that, like, they're the undisputed best.
Mm. Yeah.
We might, James McCarthy kind of hinted he might be back for another year next year.
Yeah.
Pushing for 10.
Who knows? Yeah, like everyone said, it was the last dance. Maybe it's not. Maybe there's one more rodeo to go. But yeah, I suppose, you know, before we'll finish up, we'll do a quick quiz. We've got 10 questions here, based off of this year, and we'll see between the two of yous that who will be coming out on top. I am going on Seamus's channel soon, actually. I think on the 27th.
27th is what we've said, isn't it?
27th, yes. If anyone wants to see my own personal, you know, knowledge around like that, you know, I'll be over there. Matthew will be there as well. We'll see. Maybe Matthew can win this and it'll be like me going up against the winner or something, but we'll see.
Yeah, the defending champion.
We'll see what happens.
No match fixing now.
All good. A few days you'll be like, you'll get straight away. A few days maybe not, but we'll start with number one, top scorer in the football championship.
Overall.
Jim Green.
There we go. It's 1-0 to Matthew. Who won the Carlo Football Championship?
Air Oak.
There we go. 1-1. I think Seamus got to that one first. He was relegated from the Leinster Hurling Championship. That was tough. I think you both said that at the same time, so we'll just go 2-2. This one, I'll be interested if any of you get this. Who scored the first point of the football championship in 2023?
Pat Milan?
No.
That has to be the New York Leitrim game.
No, I'd say not.
One guess each. Matthew's wrong, unfortunately. So over to you now, Seamus.
Keith Byrne.
No. Matthew wasn't far, though. It was Paul McNamara was actually the man who did it for Sligo.
So it was the Sligo game.
It was the Sligo game.
Was that on the same weekend as New York Leitrim?
It was, yeah. But you know the way with the time difference, obviously New York Leitrim was on a little bit later. So there we go. 3-2 is the score there. What game had the biggest margin of victory in intercounty Gaelic football? Correct, yeah. It was 28 points was the margin there. There was a few ones that came close. Dublin Sligo wasn't too far away, but that's 3-3. Who scored the winning penalty for New York versus Leitrim?
Yeah, Mike Brosnan.
Yeah, you actually said that one earlier as well, which kind of threw a spanner in the works. there we go. So yeah, 4-3 is the score. So it's still even. We might need a tiebreaker here, maybe.
What's going on? 4-3, and we've had 6 questions.
4-3. Yeah, but I think both of you got one right. I think because both of you said.
Oh right.
So we gave a point.
I was like, hey. Yeah. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's like, is there any? To be fair, I'm not great at maths. I will be honest, and sometimes counting, you know, doesn't actually work. So if I do happen to mess anything up, like viewers, let me know, and obviously yourselves, feel free to correct me. Biggest margin of victory in hurling.
Kilkenny by Speed.
No.
Oof. I'm gonna say Galway by Speed.
Correct. It was Galway Westmeath. It was 34 points was the margin there. There was another one as well, actually. Tipperary Offaly also had, but it was the exact same margin. So there we go. For all most points in a game of hurling this year.
Cork Limerick, is it?
No.
The Galway Kilkenny game?
No, I kind of spoiled it for myself. It actually was the Tipperary Offaly game as well. there we go. A bit of a, maybe I should have put that one.
Oh, somewhere. Yeah, didn't they get like 37 or something?
I think it was like 7-18 to 3-19 or something like that. So it was a very, very high scoring game. In fairness, lowest scoring game in the football championship this year.
In like all county or club or?
County, yeah. So across all provinces, yeah.
In championship, not league.
In championship, yeah.
Straight away, my mind went to Brafey versus Ballina.
Yeah, this is just county. Just
cracker of the game.
Yeah, that was a vintage one, wasn't it?
Tipperary Kerry.
No.
Lowest scoring between two sides, is it?
Yeah, like the lowest aggregate score, basically, between when we add it up between the both.
Okay. Gonna just guess at this. Dublin Roscommon.
No. Gavin did say that as well. Wasn't far off, though, to be fair, but it was actually cleared when he got 9 points to 14 was the... was the score there. So that was the lowest aggregate score in the championship. So it stays a 4-4. So that means the next one is the winner. And it is the top score in the hurling championship.
Ah, he's got this. Yeah.
There we go. Matthew was... I was kind of thinking that was a bit of an easy one to finish up on. Maybe I should have had that a bit different.
No, because like it's one of those things that for some reason I didn't know that, and the minute I seen it, I was like, oh, I'm in trouble here.
Yeah,
and I'm going up against Gaelic Statsman.
Yeah, You're kind of at a disadvantage.
Yeah, top scorer is that.
Yeah. Yeah, but as I was saying to the lads off air, like when last night I was preparing the questions and literally about 15 minutes before I realized I actually didn't have the answer. So whilst we were doing this stream, I had to basically go and make sure I had the answers there. And the plan was to have more questions, but we have ran out of time, unfortunately. But yeah, appreciate anyone who tuned into the stream. Hit the like button, subscribe if you haven't already. I'm sure we'll do something like this maybe next year as well when it comes to the end of 2024. And yeah, obviously make sure to check out Matthew's podcast, the Gaelic Statsman, Seamus podcast as well on Cliha. I'll be over there obviously in a couple of days' time, so make sure to go and check that out. And yeah, cheers lads for coming on. Cheers anyone who tuned into the stream, and we will speak to y'all soon.